won't be smart enough to figure out if I'm not. Sounds like I am, so that's good. I'll invite you to turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Somebody better tell me where that is. No. You know, it's good to be back here. It's good to see friendly faces. Because, you know, I like seeing friendly faces. And usually a face you haven't seen for a while is friendly. And I'm glad that that's so here. Because I would hate to come back home and see a bunch of scowls. That's not what I see, so I'm very happy. Psalm chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, so I invite you to stand as we read the Word of God here. Psalm chapter 1, starting at verse number 1. The Bible here says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the time that we have in your house. Lord, the house of prayer, the house of worship, the place as Christians we come to gather together to lift praise to your name, but Lord, to hear you speak to our hearts. Lord, I ask that you would challenge us tonight. Lord, that you would bless the preaching and bless the listening, that each heart here, including mine, would be tender to your Holy Spirit, to your will, that we would hear what you'd have us to hear, so Lord, that we might do what you'd have us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's no coincidence, as you may be seated, it's no coincidence what Jesus Christ used a lot of examples in his earthly ministry about plants. He talked about the figs. He talked about the sower went to sow. There's a lot of similarities, I'll say, between the Christian life and plants. And that is why the Lord used plants often to illustrate something to his people that they might be able to understand a physical representation of something into a spiritual sense that he wanted them to understand. It's no different. I love the poetry that you see in the Old Testament, where you would see a physical thing that would relate to some, especially you look in the book of Proverbs, the Bible, my sister's favorite, my oldest sister's favorite proverb was, "The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, surely the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife." She used that verse to prove the Bible true. I'm like, oh my. After a while, they were not allowed to touch my nose. But the pictures that we see in the Word of God are precious. And I want us to look at this picture that we see. In verse 3 of this book that we read, Psalms 1, verse 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now we're going to look at the verses preceding this in a little while. But for now, let's look at this picture of a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit, and that its leaf does not wither. This should be, if you are saved, this should be the picture of your life. It should be. I hope it is. I hope it's the picture of my life. "And he shall be like a tree." So I just happened to bring with me a tree. Some of you might not want to call this a tree, but for all the intents and purposes for the message tonight, this is a tree. When I got back, the first time I saw a tree, I about choked because it's like, oh boy, it was a moving experience. I've been waiting to see the mountains, but we got too much smoke here, so I can't see the mountains. But there's an interesting thing we can say about trees. The first thing we can say about a tree, if you pluck it out of its roots, it's going to die. But ignore that part. This tree has a remainder of roots, and that's important. The Bible talks about this man that we're going to look at, that we're looking at, or this tree, or your life, your spiritual life, should be a tree. Should be a tree. A tree that's planted. Now, in order for a tree to be planted, like it's talking about planted by rivers of water, it's not talking about something that just gets planted, although, well, there's a good picture there. But we're looking at this thought. It's planted. It has roots that goes down into the water. Yeah. Now, we can look in the New Testament a whole bunch to find places in the Word of God where the water of the Word is essential for our lives. It gives us the nutrients. It gives us the things that we need to sustain ourselves on the in the everyday Christian life. In our service to God, in our service to others, we need it. Amen. We need roots. This tree needs roots. This tree needs roots that grow down deep into the ground where the nutrients are for it to sustain its life. Christian, I'm going to say, we need our roots to grow down into the Word of God. Go ahead and turn over to Colossians chapter 2. We need our roots to go down. We need our roots to be where they're supposed to be. We need our roots to be in a place so that we can be built up. Now I'm going to just look at this verse and kind of use it to jump in a little bit more. But in verse number 6 of Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And it continues on to say, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So it says a number of things there. It's giving us the picture of being rooted and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Now, when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal and Lord and Savior, it was from the Word of God, the instruction, the teaching of the Word of God that taught me. When I learned about how I should be as a Christian, when I learned what my character should be like, it was from the Word of God. It was the Word of God that was teaching me to be what I need to be so that I could be rooted and built up in the Lord. But it gives us to hear, it's telling us that we are to be rooted and built up and established in the faith as ye have been taught. That's an important key, as ye have been taught. When we are planted by the rivers of water upon trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior, that is where we have been taught. That is where we are to receive our instruction. That is where we are to receive our nutrients for your Christian life. This is what the Christian wants to do. I'm going to tell you, our roots are supposed to go down in the Word of God to get our nutrients and the stuff that we need for our life. But this is what we want to do. We want to plant our lives somewhere else, and we want to let our roots grow out along the ground, because there's a whole lot of interesting stuff that looks out there. Entertainment. Sports. You could plug in a lot of things here. But that's where we want to put our roots. Have you ever seen a tree that just puts its roots on the ground and it grows out flat and it's, you know, it's got nice roots, but they're all on top of the ground? You know what is going to happen to that tree? The only thing it's going to get is what the surface has to offer. And I'm going to tell you, the surface has nothing to offer except death. That tree will die. Its roots are exposed, easily damaged. It's not going to stand. It's going to fall over. The slightest storm that comes along, it's not going to survive much. Sad thing is, too many Christians want to live their life like that, plant their roots and grow on the surface going across the world. They've got nothing to establish themselves on. They've got no foundation. They've got no truth. No stability. Yep. No nutrients for their life. You cannot live your Christian life. You cannot even live a carnal life on what the world has to offer, because every time I go out in the world and I see someone that lives in the world without church, without Christ, without God, they are starving. They are depressed. They are messed up. They have need of hope. You know, this is an interesting coincidence. I just happen to have in my Bible, I was just talking to somebody earlier about this. This man, this is a slip from a page from the church directory at Bethaven, where I'm going right now. This man went through the Hope program, through the ranch program. When he got there, this is one of those people that say, maybe he'll last a little bit. This man was messed up. He was, you know, drunkard. He was just strung out. He was messed up. He had no hope. He was used up. He was dry. He had no roots going anywhere. This man's got a job now. This man's faithful in church. Yeah. This man is serving wherever he can find a place to serve. Why? Because he got saved and he put his roots into the Word of God, and it made an impact in his life. And oh, if we could do that too. Amen. If you don't have your roots in the Word of God, make it a priority. Make it a challenge. Because after all, that's what the Lord wants you to do. Roots, they're important. We cannot live without roots. As a Christian, as my life, I can't do anything without roots. This tree, it got plucked from its roots, so it's going to die pretty soon. It's already dead, actually, probably. It's just appearance of life in it. What about your life? It might have an appearance of life.
It's good. Amen.
Where's your roots?
Amen.
Roots? What we need to plant ourselves in the Word of God are vital. For without them, the rest of the stuff in that verse we're talking about are of no good. Back over to Psalms. Back over to Psalms. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Oh, the Word of God's the rivers of water. It gives us the refreshing life that we need. It brings the nutrients from the throne of God into our heart, to our spirit, where we need to grow and thrive and flourish and blossom. But there's something that we as Christians often want without worrying about these roots. And, you know, this is next. Fruit.
Yep.
He shall be like a tree planted, and he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Bring forth fruit. You know, we all want to bring forth fruit. We all want to say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I go to church and I need to be able to, you know, witness to somebody and lead them to the Lord and lead them to Christ and say, you know what? I've led some of the Lord. They're saved. So I brought forth fruit. Yeah, I did. I hate to say it, but it's not our fruit that we're bringing forth. It is His fruit that He brings forth in His season. And you know what His season is? Well, we just look in the New Testament, because the fields are white already under harvest. It's His season. And if you're not bringing forth fruit in your life, it's because you're not planted and rooted as you should. So, bringeth forth fruit. What kind of fruit are we looking at? We're looking for this kind of fruit, where we can replicate, reproduce ourselves into something that looks exactly like God wants us to look like. He wants us to look like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit when we go out and witness and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for our lives. That's where we should be, Christian. We should be plucking out other trees. That's done on the Christian level. That's done on the personal level. That's done on the church level. And I don't have to preach hard here, because that's what this church has done not too recently. That's what Beth Haven has done. When I got there to Beth Haven, I was like, oh, I was elated, because there was a church plant that they were finishing up. And like 2 weeks after they finished that one, they started another one. And it's already self-supported.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa. When you plant yourself, do things God's way, He brings forth fruit.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought. He brings forth fruit. I like looking in the New Testament, and I like the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Just reading it. Reading what he did, reading how he served. But every time we find a man that the Apostle Paul talks about, my son Timothy, who in the faith. Titus, my son in the faith. Onesimus, my son whom I have begotten in my bonds. When we look at the Apostle Paul in Scripture, we look at those men, the fruit that we see that they had was not their fruit, but was just evidence of their ministry and their commitment and their faithfulness to God. And through their faithfulness to God, through their service to God, God reproduced ministers from Paul to continue ministering. It's not me. When I do something for the Lord and there is fruit of it, it's not me that did it.
Amen.
It is the nutrients coming through my life from being planted in the Word of God that affects my life and shines forth without and allows God to use me to minister to other people, that He might also show them where the nutrients are.
Yeah.
Now we get to move on a little bit further. And his leaf also shall not wither. This is called the crown. You got the roots, you got the trunk, and you got a crown. Most of us want the crown without bothering about where we're planted. Most of us would be happy to have a crown to look like an awesome Christian, to look healthy. But before you get a crown, you must be planted. You must have fruit, and then your leaf shall not wither. We want the crown, and that's what we want to look like. You can't look like that without the crown. When you can't look like that without the roots, without the fruit. Now, here's why this is important. We get the crown from being healthy. What happened when the master went into the vines, the figs? And he went looking for fruit amongst the healthy looking trees, found no figs, and ordered the trees to be, the figs, the plants, to be gathered up and destroyed because they had no fruit. Sometimes the Christian might look like a good Christian. They might look like they got it all together. But if they don't get things in order, they don't get to take care of their fruit, their plant being planted and getting the nutrients where they need it, they're not going to have the health that they need. They're not going to have the fruit that they need. They're not going to look like a tree with a crown. This crown is important because it should show where we're planted. It should show where. We're concerned about looking like this, but we don't put the time and the effort to plant ourselves to be there. We don't plant ourselves to be there, so we have to try really hard to fabricate our fruit in our Christian life.
Yeah.
So we can look like good old Brother Joe so-and-so that got everything put together, and he's always got more people in the Sunday school class than anybody else, and he's always outdoor knocking, and he always does this, and he always does that. And you know why he does that? Because he's planted. We can't look like this with a crown unless we take care of the first thing, making sure we're rooted and established. You have to be concerned about what's on the inside before you can be concerned about the outside. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. The Lord's talking about the judgment that might possibly be coming. And he tells his people this. He says, rend your hearts, not your garments. The Jews, the highly pious religious people, when something came up and they realized they needed to do something, what would they do? They would rend their garments. They would show an outward show of contrition and of repentance and say, you know what? We need to get back to where we should be. And they'd rend their garments. They would make the show, Christians today, make the show of being what they need to be. Of being contrite. Of, you know, showing that, you know what? I am broken. But the Lord says, rend your heart, not your garments.
Amen.
It doesn't matter to God how much you rend your garment. It doesn't matter to God how much you try to look like a mature tree. Because He knows what's on the inside. For the Lord looketh, seeth not as man seeth. But the Lord looketh on the inside. Seeth the inside. He looketh at the heart. But the question now comes to us. I want to be like this. I want to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. I want to have my fruit brought forth in His season. I want to have my leaf shall not... I don't want my leaf to wither. I want to have a crown. Might I say that one day we will give our... We will cast a crown at our Savior's feet.
Amen.
That what we cast at His feet will most likely be a testimony of all the good things that God have done for us. But it will also, in a sense, be a picture of our ministry to Him. What will you be casting at His feet? That's just a thought. If we are to look like this, to be planted, to be rooted, to have fruit, to have a crown that tells everybody, tells the world around us that there is a God that has given us grace. There is a God that has redeemed us. There is a God that has sustained us. There is a God that gets us through life. A God that gives us hope. If we want to be like that, let's look at the first two verses. Verse number one, blessed is the man that walketh not. Oh, here we go. Here's some instruction now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, there's some important instruction there. As a Christian, if you're living your life, you will be blessed if you do not, like it says, walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, if you listen to those you shouldn't listen to, if you listen to what you shouldn't listen to, it's counsel of the ungodly. And if it is anything that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God, it is going to be giving you bad nutrients. We had these cute little bushes out behind our house that we're staying at in Oklahoma. They had purple flowers. I thought they were nice. Well, the power company decided that they're going to grow up too big and be under the lines, and they can't have that, so they brought this guy out there with this little thing on his back, this little spray bottle thing, and it's spraying all over the place. And the next day, you just start seeing everything's drooping and dying because those things were being fed the wrong stuff.
There you go.
They were in an okay place, but they were getting fed the wrong stuff. And it was causing death. Causing death. Check your life. If you're starting to wither in areas in your life, are you getting the wrong nutrients? If you're getting the wrong nutrients, you know what that means? It means you're not getting the right nutrients. And if you're not getting the right nutrients, your Christian life is withering away and you're going to die. So, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Oh, we could look at Lot. I knew he was one of those guys, you know. We could look at Lot. He lost a lot. You know that? He lost a lot. Because he would not get out of there. And if you look at it, he was told, you better get out of here right now because God's going to judge this place. And the Bible says that in the morning, because he was told at night, get out of here. And in the morning, they told him, you better get out of here. Now they said, make haste. Get out of here. Because he's standing in the way of sinners. And what's interesting, they told him, get out. The next day, they said, make haste. And then a couple verses later, they said, they took him. And they led him out of that place. And then you look down a little while later, Lot's wife had turned and looked. It made me think about this question. If Lot had just left when he was told to, instead of standing in the way of sinners, would his wife had gone with him? But he showed them something. He showed where his heart was.
Amen.
Where's your heart? Is it in the way of sinners? Your life, where you stand, is going to tell people what's important to you. Where you stand is going to influence your family. Where you stand is going to change the destiny of those that you love and those that you care about. Take care. Do not stand in the way of sinners. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. How many times have you ever heard something? Oh, this is a sad story. I was witnessing to my old boss back at the lumber mill where I used to work. I had been trying to witness to him. I'd been working on him for a while. We had opportunities when I got promoted and became my lead. I had a lot more opportunity to witness to him and talk to him. And we were finding different things to talk about that would kind of different avenues to try to help him understand that, you know, the Bible is true. There is hope. There is something. It's not just a fairy tale. But I was witnessing to him. I was trying to reach his heart, and a backslidden Christian just piped up and said the wrong thing while he was sitting when he should have been working. You know, I had an opportunity to go in with some of the supervisors sometimes and talk with them about some important planning issues. He had a job. He needed to be working, but he decided to come in and sit down and let us. While I was witnessing, while I was talking to someone, while I was trying to give the gospel to someone that needed it, this backslidden Christian came in and sat down and with a mockery in his voice, pointed out how bad church is. He was sitting in the seat of the scornful.
Yep.
He lives a dead Christian life. And that Christian life that man lives just strangled someone that needed Christ.
Man.
Where are you sitting? So those are the negative parts of the instruction. You will be blessed if you don't do any of those. But Christian life is not about what we don't do. It's about what we do. And this is what we should do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, we could park there forever. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen, those things that we just talked about in verses number 1 are very important, because if those things are in our lives, if we sit in the seat of the scornful, if we stand in the way of the sinful and walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If we are in those things, those areas of our life, if we're entangled in all of that, we will not delight in the law of the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
So we need to make sure that none of that is in our life. And if we are clean before God, this is where God's talking about rending our heart and not our garments. We check our heart and make sure we're where we're supposed to be. And we look to Him and delight in His law. Oh, this is His law. If we delight in the Word of God, and not just delight in it, meditate therein day and night. What's that talking about? How do you delight in the Word of God? Can you delight in something if you don't know about it? Can you delight in something if you don't know it? You can't. That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's a reason why God wants us to memorize His word. There's a reason why God wants us to spend time in His word. There's a reason why He wants us to be absorbed with His word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We delight ourselves in the word of God by allowing our roots to go deep into its precious, precious words. And as our roots go down deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, the more life we draw out of it. The more life we draw out of it, our crown is going to flourish. That's delightful.
Amen.
And meditate day and night. What's that talking about? Have you ever thought about something before? You know, we have all thought. And meditating on God's word is when God speaks to you about something and you spend the day pondering about what God is talking to you about.
Yeah.
You want to know how to be planted? How to bear fruit? How to have a crown that withers not away? Well, this is how you do that. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
But here's the sad part. The ungodly are not so. That can mean two things. That can mean those without God or those living without God.
Okay. Amen.
If you're a Christian and you're not planted by the rivers of water, you will not be like a tree planted. It's going to be sad. You're not going to grow. Spiritually, you're going to die. Spiritually, you're not going to have anything to say. You know what? You know, like the, what if your spiritual life, your spiritual health would be what would convince somebody else that God is real?
Yeah.
If you look like a dead Christian, they're not going to believe what you say. If you look like a dead Christian, you're not going to be of any help to anybody. This is what we need to focus on. If you don't get anything else out of what we've read, is just delight in the law of the Lord. Delight in His law. Meditate in His word. Put away ungodly counsel. Put away the sin and the stuff in this world that would just drain and strangle the life out of you. Put away the scorn, the mockery. Too many Christians live a life that just mocks the great name of God. It's the Christians that are hurting God's name, not the world.
Yeah.
It's the Christians. Let us delight in His law. Meditate. And when we do that, our roots will be where they should. The growth will be where it should be. Fruit will abound to His account. And our crown of leaves that spreads across will show others that God is real. He is alive. He works in the hearts and the lives of men.
Amen.
So my question this evening is, what does your tree look like?
Yeah.
Where are you planted? Where are you planted? Let's bow our heads.